أعوذ بالله السميع العليم من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الحمد لله والحمد حقه كما يستحقه حمدا كثيرا وأعوذ به من شر نفسي إن النفس لأمارة بالسوء إلا ما رحم ربي والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين خاتم النبيين سيدنا وحبيب قلوبنا وشفيع ذنوبنا أبي القاسم محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المطهرين المكرمين ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين من أول يوم ظلمهم إلى قيام يوم الدين السلام عليك سيدي ومولاي يا أبا عبد الله وعلى الأرواح التي حلت بفنائك عليك مني سلام الله أبدا ما بقيت وبقي الليل والنهار ولا جعله الله آخر العهد مني لزيارتكم السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين جميعا ورحمة الله وبركاته قال الله العظيم في كتابه الكريم وهو أحسن القائلين وأصدق الصادقين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم من المؤمنين رجال صدقوا ما عاهدوا الله عليه فمنهم من قضى نحبه ومنهم من ينتظر وما بدلوا تبديلا آمنا بالله صدق الله العلي العظيم for the purification of the souls and the enlightenment of the hearts and for the hastening of the reappearance of بقيت الله الأعظم روحي وأرواح العالمين له الفدا enlighten your souls and the atmosphere with the recitation of صلوات upon محمد وآل محمد Respected elders, brothers and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Karbala, Karbala. A university of principles, values, a place whereby an individual is mesmerized by the teachings of honor, prestige, dignity, and the ultimate form of sacrifice. Karbala, the land of equality and justice, the land by which the human being can learn many lessons and able to apply them to their lives. Karbala is a lesson in loyalty and altruism and sacrifice. Karbala, a place by which an individual is able to understand the position of companionship, especially to those whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has selected and chosen. When you examine the revolution of Sayyid al-Shuhada Aba Abdullah al-Husayn salawatullahi wa salamuhu alayh Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. One important idea that emerges is indeed his companions, their worth, their position, their sacrifice, their lives. what stands out is the famous statement of Sayyid al-Shuhada on the night of Ashura, whereby he famously said, Ala inni la a'lamu ashaban awfa aw khayran min ashabi. Surely I do not know of a group of companions more loyal and better than my companions. Therefore, Imam al-Husayn set from the onset the value and the position of these group of individuals. And when we look at the ziyarah that we often recite, honoring these group of faithful men, we are told that we salute them by saying, Assalamu alaykum ya awliya Allahi wa ansarih. Peace and blessings be upon you, O those who have become the friends of Allah and His helpers. Assalamu alaykum ya asfiya Allahi wa ahibba'ih. Peace and blessings be upon you, upon those whom Allah has chosen and indeed He loves. Assalamu alaykum ya ansar Rasulillah. Assalamu alaykum ya ansar Amir al-Mu'mineen. Assalamu alaykum ya ansar Fatima al-Zahra, Sayyidati Nisa' al-Alameen. Assalamu alaykum ya ansar Abi Muhammad al-Hasan al-Sibt al-Zaki. Assalamu alaykum ya ansar Abi Abdullah al-Husayn. They were truly individuals who stood to support the cause of the religion of Islam and stand with the Ahlul Bayt. The ziyarah continues and says, طِبْتُمْ وَطَابَتِ الْأَرْضُ الَّتِي فِيهَا دُفِنْتُمْ وَفُزْتُمْ وَاللَّهِ فَوْزًا عَظِيمًا. You are indeed victorious, and the earth that houses you has become pure where you are buried, and you have attained eternal success. فَيَا لَيْتَنَا كُنَّا مَعَكُمْ فَنَفُوزَ فَوْزًا عَظِيمًا. We wish that we were with you, O companions, O Ansar of Imam al-Husayn, so that we attain success and at the same time become victorious. This last statement is often misunderstood, because some people in history have come forward and said, the position of the companions is nothing to be proud of, or we should not exaggerate what they did, because if we were in their position, we would do the same. Who would look at the grandson of Rasulullah waiting and anticipating for help and support and would not rise to sacrifice their life for the grandson of the Holy Prophet? Who would not do so? One of the scholars mentioned this one day in a majlis. He said, let's not exaggerate and speak too much of the Sahaba of the Imam alayhim salam, because when it comes to them, they did what they had to do. At night, when he slept that night, he saw a dream. He saw himself in Karbala on the day of Ashura. He saw himself there, and Imam al-Husayn had told him that I wish to perform the Salah, and I want you to stand and to protect me from the arrows that have been directed towards me. That's all I want you to do. So this particular scholar said that in my dream I stood, and every time there was an arrow hit towards the direction of Imam al-Husayn, subconsciously what I do is I lower myself and the arrow would hit Aba Abdullah. Until the Imam finished his salah and I looked behind and his body was littered with arrows. Then he looked at me and said, now you doubt the loyalty of my Sahaba? Now you understand who my companions are? It is easy for us to claim, Ya Laytana Kunna Ma'akum. We wish we were with you in Karbala and in Ashura, Fanafuza Fawzan Azima. Yet, this word Ma'akum has many different dimensions and degrees of understanding. Because the Quran come forward and says, Muhammadun Rasulullah, وَالَّذِينَ مَعَهُ أَشِدَّاءُ عَلَى الْكُفَّارُ رُحَمَاءُ بَيْنَهُمْ. Quran says, the Holy Prophet is indeed the Messenger of Allah, and those who are with him. The word that is used in Arabic is مَعَهُ, meaning what? Are they with him in terms of time, or geographical location, or is it something else? Our mufassirin come forward and say, ma'ahu means those who support his stance, those who follow his commands, those who ensure that he dictates their lives. And therefore, ma'ahu has a bigger, more profound meaning. It is more than just being with them in the battlefield as far as the companions of the Imam alayhi salam, but to study their lives and to understand the values that they establish and to apply it to our life. Like what? Like, look at a man by the name of Abdullah ibn Sa'ad al-Hanafi. Who is this man? Many of you may not have heard of his name. He was a companion of Imam al-Husayn. Yet history records what? History records that he stood when Imam al-Husayn was performing Salatul Khawf. He stood there and he withstood more than 13 arrows in order for Imam to finish his prayers. When the Imam finished the Salah, Abdullah looks at towards the direction of Sayyid al-Shuhada and says, Sayyidi wa Mawlai, our fate, O my master, have I fulfilled what I have to do? He was about to die, he was about to be martyred. Imam al-Husayn says, Bala, indeed, anta amami fil jannah. You are about to enter paradise now. You look at individuals like whom? You look at people like Muslim ibn Awsaja. Who was Muslim ibn Awsaja? A man who was the companion of the Holy Prophet. A man who fought with Amir al-Mu'mineen. In where? In Jamal and in Safin and in Nahrawan. A man who was a brave, courageous warrior. An elderly individual who fought so courageously on the battlefield. Yet on the night of Ashura, when Imam al-Husayn had said to his companions, go, each and every one of you can take a member of my family and you are relieved from the bay'ah, from the covenant that you had given me. You are free to run away. It is the darkness of the night, so utilize it. Muslim ibn Awsaja, narrations tell us, was the first that emerged and said what? Ya ibn Rasulillah, how can I face your grandfather on the day of judgment and say to him that I turned my back on your grandson Hussein ibn Ali? I would not like to see that day ever. Ya Aba Abdullah, if I am killed, then brought back to life, and killed, and brought back to life 70 times, I would sacrifice my life so that the message of the religion of Islam is upheld. 70 times is not... Seventy times is an expression in the Arabic language that indicates excessiveness. It doesn't necessarily mean 70. It means many times. You look at a man by the name of Burayr ibn Khudayr. Who is Burayr? These are individuals in the school of Karbala, headed by Aba Abdullah, that you and I need to know. These should be household names. Today, many of the youth have memorized the names of pop stars and other actors in Hollywood and so on and so forth, and they are able to speak about their lives and the latest fashion and what they do. What about those people who should be truly our role models and we look to them to seek inspiration? People like Burayr ibn Khudayr. Who was Burayr? He was also elderly, but what he did was, he was known to be teaching the Quran in the mosque of the Kufa, in Kufa. Jami' al-Kufa. And he was an individual who also fought courageously, to the extent that in the battlefield someone came to him and said, I heard you continuously say that my Mawla, my master is Ali ibn Abi Talib. Is that true? He said, indeed that's true. He said, then you shall taste hellfire. That man was in the army of Umar ibn Sa'd. Burayr said, by God, you are an individual who is truly ignorant. Surely I will taste what? I will taste Jannah. That's why Burayr was seen smiling when he emerged to the battlefield. Someone said to him, oh Burayr, look at the number of people facing you and you're smiling. He said, it's only a few moments and then we enter Jannah and we will meet the Hur al-Ain and we'll be given the blessings and the bounties and the eternal success. These were men of full conviction and dedication. Each and every one of them we can derive a lesson from. Look at John. Oh, John. He was the slave of Abu Dharr. In fact, Amir al-Mu'mineen had initially bought him. And he gifted him to Abu Dharr. And when Abu Dharr passed away, this man was then remained with the holy second Imam, Imam al-Hasan. And then later on he moved on with Imam al-Husayn. And he accompanied Imam al-Husayn all the way to Karbala. And in Karbala, Aba Abdullah said to him, "Oh John, you have been faithful to us. Now it's time for you to go. You are free to leave." John said, "Ya Aba Abdullah, my desire is for my blood to mix with your blood as far as martyrdom is concerned. I want to be with you in Jannah. Do not deprive me of this." And when John was martyred, when he fell on the battlefield, Imam al-Husayn came forward. What did he do? Narrations tell us, he sat next to John. He prayed for him. He said, "Oh Allah, make his fragrance one that is smelt by people. Brighten his face on the day of judgment." And he placed his cheeks, the cheeks of Imam al-Husayn was placed on the cheeks of John. He did the same thing for Ali al-Akbar. Imam al-Husayn did the same thing for Ali al-Akbar, his son. Why? He was demonstrating that if you want to know the religion of Islam's position about bigotry, racism, discrimination, then look at Karbala, how it is universal in terms of treatment of human rights. Imam al-Husayn treated his son exactly the way he treated a slave who was black and Ethiopian. In order to say that Islam is a religion for all and does not distinguish between different colors and denominations and countries. إِنَّ أَكْرَمَكُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَتْقَاكُمْ. The best in amongst you in the eyes of Allah are those who practice God consciousness and taqwa. And one of those individuals that are better known by many of us that emerges from the school of Karbala, the school of loyalty, dedication and devotion, is Zuhayr ibn al-Qayn. And it is the objective of this examination for us to look at the life of Zuhayr ibn al-Qayn. Why? Why Zuhayr in particular? Many of us have heard about Zuhayr the following. We have heard that Zuhayr ibn al-Qayn wanted to avoid Imam al-Husayn during the journey to Karbala. Whenever Imam al-Husayn would sit, Zuhayr would move forward. And whenever Imam al-Husayn would move forward, Zuhayr ibn al-Qayn would sit down. We are told that Zuhayr ibn al-Qayn was a man who loved and followed the third Khalifa, Uthman ibn Affan. And we are told that Zuhayr ibn al-Qayn sought tawbah and repentance and joined the army of Imam al-Husayn when Imam al-Husayn sent him a messenger. He was with his wife and later on he went and joined the army of the Imam. This is the story that most of us know. Yes, this is what we've been told. What I'm about to tell you today breaks this type of myth and misconception due to hours of extensive research and analysis from historical records in order to understand a new picture about Zuhayr ibn al-Qayn. Who was Zuhayr ibn al-Qayn? And importantly, why is there such a misconception about him? Because you know, today in our day-to-day lives, in our societies, people spread rumors. People gossip. People like to talk and dissect the lives of other human beings. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Holy Quran comes forward and says, "Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, in ja'akum fasiqun binaba'in fatabayyanu an tusibu qawman bijahala fatusbihu ala ma fa'altum nadimin." In Surah Al-Hujurat, Allah says, "Oh you who believe, when an individual who is wretched comes to you and gives you news, first ascertain its truthfulness before you spread it. Why? Lest you become later on remorseful. Lest later on you feel a sense of shame because somebody has come to you and gossiped about another individual." The religion of Islam and the ulama of akhlaq, they say this trend in gossiping in society that happens, you know, this day and age, it's very easy. Back in the time, it was only when you see someone face to face that you sit with them and you say to them, "Did you hear about the news of X, Y, and Z? Or that particular individual?" I was told there was a story that once a member of a particular community in Australia was condemned by the whole Jama'at, by the whole mosque. They said, one person stood up and said, "I saw him enter into a bar. Therefore he is drinking." He spent the next year trying to clear his name. He said, my car had broken down and my cell phone was not working. And the only place I could go in order to call some help was inside the bar. And it so happens that he entered the bar and somebody saw him. He came and spread the rumor that this man had gone inside the bar. Imagine, destroying is easy. Building is very difficult. When you come and you speak ill of somebody, and you know, sometimes we have this habit. I don't know about you, but people have come to me. They say, you know, I'm not supposed to say this, but I'll tell you anyway. That person was there and this person did this. But please don't spread it. Please don't say it to anyone. Anybody who comes to you and at the same time discloses information that is secretive about others, A, or tries to create discord and disunity and hatred between you and your brothers and sisters, B, by giving you information that you should not be having, know that that person's intention is insincere and they want to do what? They want to cause rift in the community and a breakup in relationships. You have to be careful of those gossipers. Today, we have text messages, we have emails, we have Facebook, we have Twitter, we have phones, and therefore the opportunity for gossiping has increased. Religion of Islam and the ulama of akhlaq say, you need to practice husn al-dhanni bin-nas wa su al-dhanni bin-nafs. Meaning what? You need to